As I told you at the beginning of this week, we were going to talk on expectancy. Now, the things that God has given me, before I even go any further than that, I want you guys to be praying for some things that's going on at home. Pastor Philip, I want to thank you. We went out for lunch today, and I've been up here long enough, I'm going to try some new food. I've never had liver mush with cheese sandwich, but he did. So I will tell the wife when I get home, I want to have a liver mush with cheese sandwich. I'm glad somebody else likes liver mush. I mean, I like it with my eggs. I like it by itself, cold or hot. He said, you got to try this, man. So I was like, when I get home, I'm going to tell the wife. Actually, I told her on the phone when I was talking to her a while ago, honey, make sure you have some liver mush when I get home and make sure you got some cheese. She said, why? I said, because when I have a sandwich, cheese and liver mush, eggs and liver mush taste good.
Mayo.
And mayo. You got to have the mayo. You got to have the mayo. But I do what? Cold. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to have some recipes. I'm going to go back down home and start a Jonathan's Kitchen and use y'all's recipes and make some money.
Festivals this weekend, you can go try 100 of
them. Lord of mercy, there's not a bad way to eat that stuff. But I just thank you guys for letting me be here, let me be a part of this. I told Pastor Philip I'm here as long as he needs me. I said, I don't have a problem, honest to good Lord, driving back and forth. I like to drive because nobody bothers me. I'm quiet. Everything's quiet. And it's just me and God. I'm here till this man feels my assignment is over. But I want to share with you tonight a landmark message for this church. As I was sitting in the room today before I went to eat lunch, before I went to Avery County High School to be with Tina and the FCA, and before me and Pastor Philip went out to eat, and I was spending time with God, and I heard God tell me this. Y'all were in a shifting season of change. And how many of you know change is a good thing? Change is a good thing. Thank God for the changes in the weather. Thank God for the changes in your life. How many of you would honestly say living a predictable life is a boring life? The Bible tells us that His mercies are new every morning. He also tells us today is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Why should I worry about tomorrow? I hear people worrying so much about what's going on. But we serve a God that if He wants that hurricane to move out, all He's got to do is say move. Come on, I wish I had some. I told you, I'm going to amen me up in here. All He's got to do is say, huh. The Bible says, does it not, that the winds and waves obey His voice? Hallelujah. So think about this. But as I was praying this today, God spoke to me to tell you this about expectancy. I want to teach for just a few moments tonight on that was then, this is now. Come on. Amen. That was then, this is now. Did you know, and I actually had to go to a different chapter tonight because this is what God said. Did you know that the word now is used 1,355 times in the Bible? That's a lot of nows, isn't it? Now. What is now? Right at this moment. Now, faith. I don't know what you are going through right now, but you serve a God who can move in your situation now. We serve a God. I'll tell you how God blessed us. I was telling Pastor Philip, my wife takes care of our finances, and there was an envelope that came to the house I thought was a medical bill. So I put it up in our bills to be paid. Well, Heather said, well, what am I going to do if I need something with you up there? I said, honey, we got the debit card, long story short. And about that time, she called me today, and she says, I'm going to get you. And I was like, uh-oh, I know I hadn't done nothing. You can't really do a lot in Pinola and Newland. You know, I know I hadn't done nothing. Most excitement I've got was going to eat that barbecue place and going to Avery County High School. I said, but what did I do? She said, you remember when you put them envelopes up in the bills to be paid? I said, yeah, I thought they were medical bills. She said, you should have opened them. I said, it said your name. I forgot to tell you that part. I don't open her mail. It says, you know, she'd get mad enough at me, she'd send me to jail. You know what I'm saying? It's her mail. So the thing is, I was sitting there and I was like, well, it was your mail. She said, well, you should have opened it. I was like, man, how many of you men know discretion is the better part of valor? Yep. How many of you know that's a double-edged sword? If she tells you to do something and you do it and you do it wrong, come on now, somebody. So I didn't open it. Well, she said, honey, I opened it up. And she said there was a check where they refunded us $125. I said, praise God. I said, "Have you put it in the bank?" She said, "Yeah, I put it in the bank during lunch." But you might say, "Pastor, that's not really a lot. $125 is a lot, especially when you don't expect to get it." Amen. Come on now, think about it. But that was then. This is now. You know, the one thing I want to share with you, we are living today closer to God. Can see God do more things today than they did back in the old days. Did you know that? Everything that we have been equipped with as children of God for this moment is to help the ministry to be propelled into this season and the next season. Think about this. That was then, this is now. When in Joshua, and I know you're going to go to that text for my message, but Joshua, if you read the first chapter of Joshua, Moses, they're mourning for Moses. Did you know that the number 30 in the Bible is the number of mourning? So they mourned for Moses 30 days. Some people are still mourning over things that happened 15 years ago. But the thing is, God speaks to Joshua, and he tells Joshua, he says, "Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead." And you know, the thing I was telling Pastor Philip today was when he said, "Moses, my servant, is dead," Joshua knew that. But why did God tell Joshua, "Moses is dead"? Because it's time for something new. I'm going to share with you today, tonight, what God gave me. If you're here tonight, and I really wish some others would have been here tonight, and you are still walking in unforgiveness, it's time to change. Unforgiveness. You might say, "Well, Pastor Jonathan, what do you mean?" I'm talking about unforgiveness. Because when we walk in unforgiveness, and I have to go back to that part right there, when we walk in unforgiveness, the only victim in that situation is you. Come on, stay with me. Because you're the one that's still living with the victim mentality. You're the one that is allowing the enemy to have control over your life. It would be funny if I had them notes and left them over in the room. But think about it. How many of you know people that are still having control over people's lives? I mean, really, truthfully. And the thing is simply this. If you've ever been violated, if you've ever went through something, it's very hard to trust again. Can I help you here tonight? And we was talking to a young man last night, and it was so good. He said this, he was talking about that when people get hurt, the easiest place to get hurt is in church. The easiest place to get to be, praise God, there it is. The easiest place to get hurt is in a place where you should be restored. You talk to people that have got hurt in church, it's hard to get them back. Am I telling you the truth? You ask your family to come to church with you. "Honey, come to church." "Why, Mama? Why?" "Last time I went, they looked at me because I dressed funny. They looked at me." Why? Guys, can I tell you something? We need to start seeing people as Christ sees them. Christ don't look on the outward of nobody. He looks at their heart. You know, the thing, me and Pastor Philip was eating today, and I got a text, and it broke my heart. I'm not going to go into detail about it. He knows about it. I got a text that broke my heart. And I said, "Brother, look at this," because we'd been talking about it this week. And as soon as I text that young man, and Pastor Phillips seen me do it, I told him, I said, "At least it's today." You know, the sad thing is, guys, people are hurting. And they need us. When Jesus did all of his miracles, you want me to tell you how Jesus started reaching out to people? How people started coming to Jesus? He showed them something different. He showed them that, hey, you know, we don't have to walk under so much the scribes and Pharisees' ways of doing things, you know? I mean, you think about when they brought the adulterous woman to Jesus. One of my favorite stories in the Bible. They brought the adulterous woman to Jesus. And when they brought the adulterous woman to Jesus, they started saying, "We caught her in the very act." As I told some people before, I'm not the brightest bulb in the house. But you can't catch somebody in the very act unless you was there. Okay, come on now.
Yeah.
Think about it. But you see, the cool thing about Jesus was writing on the ground.
Jesus never looked up at the woman. They just brought her to him. They were actually testing Jesus. They brought her to him, and Jesus looked up at those men and said, "Hey, you that don't sin, have no sin in your life, throw the first stone." And he continued writing. And Jesus continued writing, and he looked up and he looked at the woman and said, "Young lady, where are they?" She said, "They're gone." He said, "I don't condemn you. Just go and sin no more." But there's a teaching in that lesson. The Bible says, when Cain killed Abel, I hope I'm helping. When Cain killed Abel, God said the blood of Abel was crying from the dust of the earth. In one translation, one part of the Bible, it says the sins of the people cry from the dust of the earth. So I believe Jesus, I think Jesus was this type of person. I believe Jesus was writing on the ground. Everybody those men had been with, and when they knew Jesus knew their business, they was like, "We're tucking tail and running. Hope you don't go tell my wife." You might say, "Pastor, that's crazy." When we are condemning people, we're probably guilty of what we're condemning them for. Think about it. It's easy for me to look at this brother and find his faults, but it's hard for me to confess my own. Come on now. I can sit here and say, "I know what she did. You know what she did last week." But the hardest thing to do is examine yourself. Look at yourself and say, "Hey, where am I missing it?" If God is not blessing you like you feel like He should bless you, do a self-examination. Look at yourself and say, "Okay, God, where am I missing it? God, why are you not answering my prayers?" God, because the Bible says that He knows that He will give us the desires of our heart. But brother, the thing is, He didn't say He'd give us the desire of our wants. He said, "I'll give you the desires of your heart." Right. And if y'all take the H and the T off of heart, what word do you get? You get ear. That's where you hear from God, is in your heart. Come on now. Yeah. Think about it. Think about it. And when you look at it tonight, I want to help you. I'm going a different way. That's why I love God. He just shifts things in the atmosphere. I have notes and He says, "No, you're going to go somewhere else." But the thing is simply this, guys. I feel like if you are not walking in forgiveness, you're limiting yourself. Now, if I ain't preaching anything that's in the Bible, you rebuke me in a heartbeat. I have no problem. But the Bible said that if I go present my gift to God and I have an ought against my brother or sister, I'm supposed to leave my gift at the altar. And I'm supposed to go work out that ought and then come back and present my gift. Is that Bible anybody up in here?
Amen.
See, the Bible tells us that God can't answer our prayers if we walk around in unforgiveness. So catch it. I told you how to C.S. Lewis. Here it is. C.S. Lewis said this: to be a Christian means to forgive the inexcusable, because God has forgiven the inexcusable in you. Come on now.
Amen.
It don't matter how they sin. God don't waste sin. People do. Did you know a lie is just as big in God's eyes as murder? Uh-huh. Amen. Oh, it's just a little white lie. No, that was a lie. Hallelujah. That's like I pick on my people that work for me at the school. I said, "Don't call me and tell me you're sick if you're not sick." And they say, "Why?" I said, "Because I can tell when you've been practicing that sick call." "Hello. How you doing there, Catherine?"
"I'm not feeling good."
"You don't even sound like a woman anymore. You sound like a man. Talk to." And she'll all say, "Just tell me the truth. Are you coming to church, school today?" I got to say church, but I say that to people too. "Are you coming to school today, or are you going to stay out? Just tell me you need a mental health day." "Well, I just don't feel like coming to school today." "Why didn't you just tell me that?" Don't tell me you're sick, because you might catch the flu. Glory to God. Don't lie. Have you ever lied? No, I'll stop. And got what you said you had? Think about it. Think about it. See, somebody started coughing. That helps me with my teaching right there. She's working on it. Hallelujah. But think about this. I want to help everybody in here tonight. And Pastor, I heard God say this afternoon. We need to teach on the people's level. We need to preach on the people's level. Have you ever went to church and the preacher talk above your head? And when you leave, somebody asks, "What?" I don't know what he preached on, man. He was using some words I didn't even... I've always said this. I'm always going to dumb things down as a preacher. I am, because you think about this. It says it, and I was going to use the scripture in Matthew 13:19. He says this, when anyone hears the word of God or the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one, which is Satan, comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. If we don't preach and if we don't teach to where people can understand it, we're just slapping our gums and wasting our breath. I didn't come up here to preach big words to y'all. Because I've even used eight more times probably than I have at the church, but it's the truth. Because the thing is simply this, if she leaves this service tonight, and somebody asks her, "What did the preacher preach on?" I don't know. But he used a big old word, I'll tell you that.
Sounds just like her.
Yeah, that's right. But see, think about it. But the thing that I am saying is when people, as I'm encouraging your pastor, and I'm encouraging other pastors that I work with, you need to know your flock, and you need to know where they're at spiritually. If you're still battling the ABCs of Christianity, we don't need to dive into XYZ, because you don't even understand. I think it's so funny because I hear people talking about, "Man, I want more wisdom and knowledge." That's great. That's great, but if you're not understanding, I can read 15 chapters a day in the Bible and not understand one verse. Come on now, somebody. Maybe it's just me. But sometimes I'll say, "God, give me a word." And Pastor Philip, he'll just give me a scripture. You might say, "Pastor, what are you talking about?" Guys, and the thing that we have a problem in the church, and I'm trying to get this to you, is we have a problem of walking in unforgiveness. If somebody hurts you, how hard is it to forgive them? I mean, think about it. You're natural. It's hard in the natural. But the next time somebody hurts you, that's nothing compared to what they did to Jesus. I know that as a pastor, when people come to our church and they have came from a church, I will ask them, "Tell me a little bit of what happened where you was at." I'm trying to teach you here. And they're like, "What do you mean?" If they got hurt there, then I know they're coming to me with what? Hurt. They come to me broken. They come to me in a different... Now, if they come to me and they cause confusion in that church, whoo, Jesus, we're not going to have it up in our church. I'll tell them, say, "Listen, if you want to be a part of our church, that's great, but we ain't having none of that junk up in here." Why? Because the thing is, it only takes one bad apple to spoil the bunch. Think about it. It's just like we was talking a while ago on the things of unforgiveness. If you've ever been hurt by a pastor, and I think I can raise my hand on that because I have, it is hard to trust another. Am I telling the truth? Because the person that you're supposed to be able to confide in and love you and treat you like you're somebody. At our church, we have our motto is City of Refuge Community Church. And one of them is where everybody is a VIP. That stands for a very important person. And when they walk into the church, they're a very important person. They get VIP treatment. And people say, "Man, that's just crazy." Well, once again, you go and say, "Pray with condition is worse." Because it works. When a person walks into a church, think about this. Nobody walks into Newland Christian Center that is not looking for a church. And you've got to find out what helps them, what is hurting them. Pastoring is not easy. I left Pastor Philip, I think it was about 2:30 today, and I had put my ear thing in. Went over to, I lost him. He went over to Banner Elk, and my wife said, "Get some waters," you know, everybody's worried. So I went over and got some waters, and as I'm getting waters, I'm talking to this young man. I lost him again coming back, and I called him. I talked to him until about 5:15 from probably about 2.5 hours on the situation that's going on in his life. That's a long time. No, it isn't. That's a life. That's a soul.
That's somebody that God called me to reach.
Amen.
You know, the thing, he was sitting there and he said, he was telling me all the things, and I was like, bro, hey, wait, man. I said, did you ask God to forgive you? I'm going to help y'all here. He said, yeah. I said, then why are we even bringing it up? If you ask God to forgive you, it's the sin of forgetfulness, never to be remembered against you no more. Let's just work from this point and move on. And the thing is, when I was talking to him, he says, well, everybody else looks at me as a failure. I said, brother, the Bible said, come on, I'm trying to help y'all. The Bible said, not what you said, me said, Tina said, this brother said, but the Bible said a righteous man's going to fall 7 times, but he's going to rise again. You ever watched a boxing match, UFC, as I've said before? Glory to God, with that guy, the champion, he might get knocked down a few times. But he gets up one more time than the challenger gets up, because he laid for the 3 or the 10. This man got up. No matter what you've been through in your life, you know, it's so easy for us as Christians, and I'm not talking to the world, I'm talking to the church. It's so easy for us as a Christian to put on the victim mentality. I'm trying to help you here. Because it's easy, because if I live in the victim mentality, sister, it's easy for me to walk away when the going gets tough.
Yep.
It's easy for me to say, hey, pastor, I'm going to let you get so far in my life. This is it right here. I'm vulnerable. Or brother, I'm just going to let you get so close to me because, you know, I've been hurt. It's easy for people to let you know they've been hurt. It's harder for people to let you know they've been healed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll tell you a story real quick. There was this little boy. He loved to cuss. And every time he got angry, he would bust something. So his daddy took him back behind the house one day. He said, son, he said, you see this post right here? He said, yes, daddy. He said, every time you get mad, I want you to drive a nail in this post. And it didn't take that boy but about two months to put a nail where you couldn't find nothing else. And he come to his daddy and said, hey, daddy, I did it. Dad, you can't see the post anywhere. So that's good, son. He said, now, for every day you don't get angry, I want you to pull a nail. 3 years later, that little boy pulled the last nail. He walked to his daddy. He said, daddy, guess what? All the nails are out of the post. He said, come on, son. So he took him to the post, and he said, son, you see this? He said, the nails are not here, but the indentions are. Think about it. You're still scarred. If you've been hurt, you are still scarred. I don't care what anybody says. If you've ever experienced hurt in your life, you are scarred. When I went through some of the things I've went through, and I'm sure you guys have went through, the hardest thing for me to do was trust. Because when you have been hurt, when you have been looked at, when you've been spit on, when you have went through some offenses, did the Bible not say, surely offenses will come?
That's right.
In other words, God is saying, you're going to experience pain here on earth. How many of you have ever thought, well, that's just not fair? Why is somebody living like this and I'm living like this? How come it seems like they can get a new car every 6 months and I can't even afford to get my car fixed? Why do they own their house and I can't even get me a house to pay for? I can't even buy me a house because I can't afford to pay my bills. Here's the thing, guys. You need to start thinking. It's you and God. When I look at my life, me and my wife were talking on the phone, and I was like this. I'm the type of person. If a pastor was to call me tonight and say, I need you in revival next week, and it's 3 hours from here, what time do you want me there? You scared you'll lose your job? My God shall supply all my needs according to His riches and glory through Christ Jesus. It's kind of like this. They knew where I stood when I went. See, you got to understand something. When you walk into unforgiveness, catch this. Offering forgiveness doesn't always heal the relationship. But offering forgiveness always enables God to heal your heart. Come on.
That's true.
Think Think about it. Think about it. There are some relationships that you're in right now that are dangerous. You must say, Pastor, I don't agree with that. Yeah, yeah. If they're not encouraging, if they're not Christian, because I'm going to tell you something. The Bible says not to be unequally yoked to an unbeliever. And the thing is simply this. How many times have you ever heard it? I know you probably heard it many times, brother. Well, I'll marry him and then God will change you. Well, good luck with that. Because if God didn't change him before you married him, it's a pretty good indication he's not going to let God change him when you marry him. That's how come I had this couple come to me one time. And I don't marry no one unless they go through 16 weeks of premarital counseling. If you can't give me 4 months, how can you give a relationship forever? And I had this couple first time that wanted to meet at Pizza Hut. And I was like, y'all buying? This is my time. And I went in there and I told them, I said, listen, we're going through 16 weeks of premarital counseling. And we got into the first session. And I told them this one. I said, I want you to tell me 10 things you love about your fiance, and I want it to be biblically based. Well, that session got over pretty quick. Because I said, you can't say he's sexy, you can't say she's hot. You got to give me the reason why you feel like God is placing this together. You might say, Pastor, And you know this, and you know this. When I put my name on something, I'm saying I'm in agreement with it. Amen. I'm saying that I believe God put this together. And I believe, and the thing is, you must say, well, because how many of you know, sometimes we jump ahead of God because it feels good? Am I helping you? Sometimes you're like, man, I really believe God's wanting us to buy that house right there. Me and my wife were going to buy a house a couple of months ago. We was going to move to Statesville, where the church is located. And we seen a house, and we fell in love with that house. And after all was said and done, it was going to cost us about $252,000. I looked at Heather, and I said, we only owe $48,000 on our house. And she said, what do you mean? I said, why don't we just keep our house? It looked bigger and better. It looked nice, brother. But that payment didn't. That payment was going to be almost three times what I pay now a month. It looked good, but it could have been destructive. She might look, a person in your relationship. See, here's the simple things I'm going to tell you. If someone is in a relationship with you, I'm not talking about just dating. I'm talking about relationships in general. If people are in a relationship with you, they should be sharpening you. They should be encouraging you to be the person God wants you to be. They should be encouraging you. If there is people in your lives right now, whether you want to amen me or not, there are liabilities and casualties. They're not uplifting you. There's people in your lives right now. And I'm going to tell you, I may have told Pastor Philip this, but I told my church, if you don't deposit anything into me, don't expect a withdrawal. Think about it. If people's not investing in you, brother, they shouldn't be coming to you expecting you to deal with something. Not put money in the bank and try to pay a power bill with no money in it. Your lights get cut off. Plus you have a bad check. Plus you have to pay a service charge. But what I'm saying is if people don't deposit into you spiritually, they're a casualty. Anybody that will push you away from God instead of pulling you toward God is a liability, and they are a casualty. I tell people, somebody said, how many true friends you got? Probably you can count them on my hands. I'm a pretty private person. I am. And you must say, well, I just don't see that in you. Because I'm very careful who I hang around. How many of you know if you hang around a dog, eventually you'll get fleas? Come on now. Yeah. If a dog sticks around cats long enough and don't get around a dog, it'll wind up trying to find it a scratching post also. Because it's going to be what it's around. Come on, you know I'm telling the truth. You ever seen a dog try to meow? I have, actually. Because all it did was hang around cats. If you hang around alcoholics and you ain't strong enough in God, eventually you're going to become an alcoholic. Amen. You're known, believe it or not, it is very true. You're known by the company you keep. That's how come I tell you, if there is people in your life, and grandparents, please listen to me. You've done raised your kids. Let your children raise theirs. I don't know if that happens up here, but it's so bad at the house.
I tell my people at the church, one day this young lady said, "Mama, will you watch my kids?" And Mama said, "I done had them all week." "Yeah, but Mama, I'm a pastor. I stepped up there and I said, listen, why don't you take your own kids home?" I told Heather one time, I said, "We put these children on this earth with God. So we're going to take care of our children with God." You must say, "Well, I'm telling you guys, there's a reason why you're grand. You don't pass the test of raising. You know what I'm saying? You grand. We just parents. Eventually, I'm a grandparent now. My little grandson, Jack. I call him Jack. And the thing I'm looking at is, but the thing I'm telling you guys is this: offering forgiveness. Catch this. Holding a grudge doesn't make you strong. It makes you bitter. Uh-huh. Am I telling the truth? Absolutely. If you hold it long enough, you become very bitter. Amen. And nobody's going to want to be around you. It's funny because somebody told me one time, "Well, you don't never talk to me no more." I said, "You don't have nothing good to listen to." And she kind of looked at me like I rebuked you. I said, "No, you don't." She said, but you don't understand. I said, "Why are you holding on to it? Do you guys know that the people that you're holding unforgiveness with right now has control over you? And while you're sitting around letting it eat at you like a cancer, they're walking around happy. Have you ever told somebody that you forgive them? Them asking, what are you talking about? Why are you telling me you forgive me? Well, you remember when you hurt me? No, I don't. And while you've been sitting there working on unforgiveness, a lot of times they don't even know what you're upset about. That's why when we have a person in church gets upset, I'm like, "Well, wait a second, let's don't leave church right now." I said, "Who are you upset with?" And they'll be like, "Well, I'm upset." Okay, well, hold on, sit right here. "Elder Mike, go get that person. What are you doing?" "Oh, we're going to work this thing out right now." And then if they say they don't want to work it out, I'm saying, "Don't come to church defeated anymore. We give you the opportunity to be set free." See, think about it. When you're walking, you're holding a grudge, you become bitter. And can I tell y'all something? Did you know if you walk in unforgiveness, it'll make you sick? It will make you sick. I've got a teaching on that. But if you walk around in unforgiveness, it will make you sick. Because unforgiveness is bad for your health. Have you ever looked at somebody and said, if they say one cross word to me, I'm going to knock them out. If they say anything out of the way, I'm going to lay down my Christianity and whoop them and pick it back up. No, if you lay it down, you're not going to just pick it up easy. Because catch this, you can't lay down Christianity. If you saved, you saved to the bone. If you saved, I told somebody one time, and I'm a man. I said, the Bible does tell me that if a man smites me on the cheek, turn the other cheek. But Jesus wasn't too specific after that. If he hit me that second time, I think all gloves are off. Boy, it's time to go brawl. You know what I'm saying? Because he said, turn the other cheek. I only got two. I said, "Pastor, that's crazy. I would never hit nobody." I think it's funny. My girl's boyfriends will come to the house and they're scared of me. Heather said, "Don't be scared of him. He's just a little teddy bear." Not when it's my kids. Catch this. Forgiveness doesn't excuse their behavior. Okay? Just because I forgave them, brother, don't mean I excuse their behavior. And it doesn't mean because I forgive them, we got to be buddies again. There are some people in your life you need to let go of because they're not good for you. If they're the type of people in your life that they're not, I keep saying this, brother, but it's so true. If they're not depositing anything good into you. Have you ever been with somebody and somebody walk up to you at a grocery store and you're sitting there talking to them, a person walk, "Oh my God, here she comes." Or "Here he comes." Don't think you women are the only ones. Men gossip too. Men have fits of carnality too. But the thing is, "Oh, here she comes. She ain't never got nothing good to say." Hey, do you know people like that? You don't want to be around them, do you? You want to be around somebody that's godly, man. You want to be around somebody that don't give you their opinion. They give you the word. That's why I thank God. I try to equip leaders. Because when people come to me, I don't want them to come to me and me give them my opinion. You know what opinions are like. The thing is simply this. I want to say this is what the Word of God says for the situation.
Yeah.
It's not what Pastor Phillips says or the deacons or the elder or whatever, or even you and I. But it's what does the Word of God say about this situation? Well, Pastor, I just don't understand why I get so angry and I go off and I bust my fist through the wall. Well, let's see what the Word of God says about anger. I had a young lady come to me a couple of months ago, and she said, "Pastor Jonathan, I'm dealing with depression." I said, her name, I said, "Give me 15 minutes, and I'll give you every scripture on how to overcome depression." About 15 minutes later, I had her 22 verses. When she called me, she said, "I'm saying them, but it ain't working." I said, "You're just saying them. How about activating them? Believe what you're reading, because it's not my word, it's His."
Amen.
She kept talking to me, and she said, "I'm just not getting it." I said, "Are you reading every one of them at one time?" And she said, "Yes." I said, "That's your problem. Read one and meditate on it and see what the Word of God says about overcoming depression. If you're here tonight, you're overcoming, you need to overcome depression, let me give you a word. The Word of God says you're more than a conqueror. Glory to God. The Word of God tells you that you are an heir with God. You're a joint heir with Christ. The Word of God tells you that you are somebody worth dying for.
Amen.
Why be depressed?
Daughter of a king.
That's right. You're a child of God. You have a heavenly assurance that one day you're going to be in the presence of Jehovah Jireh, our God Almighty. You're going, see, the thing is, why be depressed when you can be an overcomer?
That's right.
But you have to get over the spirit of unforgiveness. My dad, I love him with all my heart. And Daddy is still battling unforgiveness in certain areas of his life. And I'm looking at him, I'm like, "Daddy, why? Why are you still? This is 35 years ago, man. Get over it." "But you don't understand what He did to me." It doesn't matter what He did to you. It's what are you doing for God. Just because you forgive somebody don't mean that you're not going to experience pain. And it's not going to mean that every time you see that person that it doesn't still hurt. I went up to a man one time. He fought me in ministry so hard. He was the associate pastor of the church that I was attending in. I mean, he just made my life heck since we got children. I was going to put a heck. But then one time God spoke to me. He said, "Stand up in front of the church and tell that man to forgive you." I said, "God, I didn't do nothing." He said, "I didn't ask for your opinion." He said, "I'm telling you to stand up in front of that church and tell that man to forgive you." I was like, "Okay, here it goes." So the pastor says, "Anybody got anything you want to say?" I said, "About right here." I said, "I do, Pastor." And I said, "I'm just going to say this." And God said, "I'm going to tell you." He said, "I told you to stand in front of the church and tell that man you forgive to forgive you." I said, "No, but God, I'm right here." So I went all the way up to that front of that church. I stood right here in that church. And I looked right at that man and I said his name. And I said, "I want you to forgive me if I've done anything to you." That man looked at me and laughed at me. But I did what God told me to do. The next Wednesday night, Pastor Philip, there was a deacon of a church came to the church. And he said, "We want to know if you'll come and be an interim pastor at our church. Because we're looking for a pastor." I was like, "Man, I'm 20 years old, yeah." And then he said, "We're going to put you on an interim basis." I said, "Yeah, I'll take it." And as soon as that man left and I got my vehicle to go home, God said, that's the kind of reward you get when you walk in forgiveness. Because the simple thing is, if I'd held on to that unforgiveness, God could not have used me. God could not have taken me to the places He's taken me and opened doors that no man can close and closes doors that no man can open. When I walk in forgiveness, think about it. I'll give you one more that'll help you tonight. A pastor friend of mine, his wife was violated. You put two and two together and get four by a person. That person went to prison.
When that person got out of prison, while they were in prison, God spoke to the woman and told her that her and her husband needed to go and visit him. Now please understand what I'm saying. And then as they visited him, the whole time he was in there. Long story short, when he came back, when he got out of prison, he wanted to join their church. Her mama walked up to her and said, "There's no way you can let him join our church because of the things that happened to you." She said, "Mama, it's not my place to judge." So guess what? That guy's in that church working right now. He is one of the deacons in that church, working with the pastor and his wife. Now, isn't that an act of forgiveness? But think about it. Forgiveness, forgiving people who have hurt you, is your gift to them. Forgetting people who hurt you is your gift to you. Think about it. Forgiving people who have hurt you is your gift to them. Forgetting people who have hurt you is your gift to you. Think about it. Is forgetting the people. See, the thing is simply this. As I've told you before, when God heals you from unforgiveness, that don't mean you're buddy-buddy no more. I forgave things that happened in my life. The people that have hurt me. And you know what? I don't know about you, brother. I love walking free, knowing that I'm set free from that hurt. Absolutely. Knowing that they don't have control over me no more. Knowing that I can look at them when I see them and not look at them for the hurt they've done in my life, but to look at them and say, you know what? You don't hold me prisoner no more. You don't hold me captive. I am set free in Jesus' name. I can look at you. And just like if you've ever been hurt in church, and if a pastor has hurt you, or an elder has hurt you, or a deacon has hurt you, or that lady that's sitting in your seat hurt you, let's just be real, tell it like it is. Some people in church have assigned seats.
I mean, seriously.
Not here.
No. I don't think nobody has shifted since I've been here. I think everybody pretty much sat where they're going to sit, and I shall not be moved. Yep. But anyway. But the thing is simply this. You've been hurt in church. Ain't no problem sitting where you want to sit. Glory to God. My mom's been sitting in the same pew for ever since Dad's been pastoring that church. But the thing is simply this. Forgetting those people. There is just some people in your life you need to let go of. I love you.
Amen.
But I'm telling you the truth. That you got to let go of them. If they're not positive, you need to get them out of your life tonight.
Yeah.
I'm not telling you that you don't love them.
Yeah.
And I'm not telling you that you can't say, "I'll be there for you if you need me." Mm-hmm. But you don't need that in your life. Now catch this one. This is one that God gave me. Not forgiving is like drinking poison, but expecting someone else to die. That's how bad unforgiveness is. It's like drinking poison expecting somebody else to die. When you don't walk around in forgiveness. Does the Bible not tell us that we are supposed to forgive our brothers and sisters 70 times, 7 times a day? That's 490 times a day I have to walk in forgiveness. Does the Bible not say in the Lord's Prayer, "And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us"? You want a parable? You want to get right real in the grill? If we want him to forgive us,
amen,
before he can forgive us, we've got to forgive others. That's the Bible. That's not me. In other words, how can I ask God to forgive me? Didn't the Word of God also say this? How can I love God whom I've not seen and not love my brother whom I have seen?
Right.
Come on, I'm preaching here.
Yeah.
You're getting some word. Because the thing is simply this. I've never seen God. Have
sure
you?
Sure,
I mean, truthfully, have you ever seen him visible? I mean, you see his works, but you've never seen his face. But how do you know he exists? Think about what I'm saying. I know he does. But the thing is simply this. We are God's, in Jesus' hands, feet, mouthpiece.
Right.
We're the representation. We're the ambassadors.
People, when we say we're a Christian, we don't take on the name Cass Stevens, and we don't take on the name Newland Christian Church. When we say we're a Christian, we take on the name of Christ. When he was on the cross, and they were mocking him, making fun of him, he said this, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And if somebody offends you, get on Jesus. Make them know, make them pay Jesus. I know that there's a God, God's a God of wrath at times, but God's a God of love also. He's not your bodyguard. He's not the mafia. Glory to God. If somebody's hurt you, take them to Jesus. Don't take them to everybody else. I think it's funny. Some people don't even know me, but they know what they've heard. I think it's funny because I'm like, I live with this guy 24/7. And I know who I am. I know how I live. And I'm going to tell you this much right now. I can honestly say, and brother, I pray everybody in here can say, if you live as I live, you'll make it to heaven. Glory to God. If you live as I live, because I want to be clean and holy. Glory to God. I don't want to bring reproach against him. I don't want none of my life to be questionable. I don't want my wife to wonder if I'm one of those so-called that'll cheat. Because I'm going to tell you something. Glory to God, it's simply this. I cover myself, brother. Glory to God, I was talking to Pastor Philip last night or today. You've got to cover yourself. You've got to make sure that nobody can say something about you and believe it's true. I'm like this. I want to live so close to God, brother, if somebody says something about me, you're like, I know better than that. Because I know the Spirit of God that rests in him. Come on. Think about forgiveness. Think about forgiveness. How can you tell people God's a God of love if you're still walking around bitter? That's pretty bad, isn't it? My God's a God of love. Man, I sure do despise that person. I sure do despise that person. I had a person, and I'm almost done. I had a person hurt me back when I was 16 years old. I don't really share a whole lot about stuff like this, but I got hurt at 16 years old. And it just crushed me. I mean, it did. It crushed me. When me and my wife was eating lunch at a Mexican restaurant down at the house, and I seen the person who hurt me so severely, and God said, go over there and pay for their meal. I was like, okay. But also talk about how good that person is to the person they're with. Okay, God. So I walked over there, and I said something to the person and the person they were with. And as I walked away, it kind of shocked them because I didn't say nothing. You know what I'm saying? But then as I was getting ready to walk away, the waiter came by, and I said, I want to pay for their check. Here's my debit card. I said, I'll sign it when you bring it to me. And when I did that, there was such a freedom. Whew, because I knew that they didn't get to me no more. When you pay for your enemy's food, glory to God, think about it. The Bible tells you in the book of Romans to bless those who curse you. Glory to God. What did it say it would do? It heaps coals of fire on their head. No, if you show people... fire of coals on their head. Think about it. But catch this. The simple thing is this. And you know what that means if you break it down? Actually, in one translation, it says it heaps coals of blessings upon them. Mm-hmm. Because you're blessing them. Because you're showing them that they don't get to you no more. You want to make somebody angry? Let them know that they don't control your life no more. They have no control over you. Especially if you have been in abusive relationships or if you've been in abusive friendships. Yeah, there are such things as abusive friendships. But think about it. Not forgiven. Forgiveness is unlocking the door to set someone free and realizing the prisoner was you. Come on.
Amen.
Unlocking the door to set someone free and realize that the prisoner was you.
That's right.
Has anybody in here ever walked in the freedom of forgiveness? Freedom of knowing that that person doesn't have that control over you. Newsflash, not every pastor that has hurt you is the pastor of the place God has sent you. Think about it. If somebody's hurt you in church, and you walk into mine, and you've not forgiven that pastor, you're going to be setting me up for failure. And I'm not that person. They don't have to. I'm not that person. My dad's a pastor, but I'm not Pastor Ralph Cass Stevens. Me and Daddy pastor are totally different. I don't mind telling you. If I'm hot, he's cold. If I'm cold, he's hot. You know, we're just totally different. I told him one time, Daddy said, I said, Daddy, picking list. I said, you want big mouth bass. That's what you're fishing for, is big mouth bass. I want rainbow trout. Glory to God. And he said, what do you mean bass? I said, Daddy, have you ever just listened to people talk in your church when you're preaching? Sometimes I can't hear you. And Daddy's got a bigger mouth than I do. And if people's talking over Daddy, you know they talk. But unlocking the door to set someone free and realizing that prisoner was you. Think about this. I don't want my prayers hindered as I land this plane. I don't want my prayers hindered, brother. So I've got to walk in forgiveness.
That's right.
I've got to realize, and the sad thing is, when you ask yourself, why is God not answering my prayers? There's a reason. There's two reasons, actually. Is it His will, or you're not walking in forgiveness? Because you have to walk in forgiveness as a child of God. There's no ands, ifs, or buts about it. You have to walk in forgiveness. And He's the ultimate example of walking in forgiveness. While they were mocking Him, sister, He was dying for them.
That's right.
Come on. When He was being whipped by those soldiers, He was dying for them. When they put the soldiers put the crown of thorns on His head, He was still dying for them. Think about it. When they were mocking Him, isn't it sad that the same people He had healed was the same people in the crowd saying, crucify Him, crucify Him. Isn't that sad? His disciples ran, tucked tail, and ran. He was left alone except for Mama. Mama went with Him to the cross. And I'll tell you something about customs in Roman customs and customs. If a person gets beaten at a whipping post, Mama has to clean the blood if she's alive. Can you imagine her sitting there and watching her son being beat with a cat of nine tails? Now, I'm going to tell you something. A lot of preachers preach that he was beaten with one whip 39 times. No. That cat of nine tails had three lashes. Yeah. And that cat of nine tails had broken pieces of pottery, bone fragments, and glass. I mean, it was nasty. So the thing is, they beat him 13 times. Wrapped it around him, and just, you know how, you can imagine. That's how when people try to put a representation of Jesus on a cross, they ain't no way He looked like that when He went up there. But He was the ultimate example of forgiveness. He was the ultimate example. So when you feel like you've fallen short, the Bible says that we have an advocate with the Father. His name is Jesus Christ. He even said this, I would that you didn't sin. But even if you do sin, come back and talk to me. And I am just to forgive you of that sin. Because He said, I'm the advocate, man. Do you know that when you pray to Jesus, and He goes and talks to God? Did you know that when you stand before God at the judgment seat, you're not going to speak a word as a child of God? When you stand, and I cannot wait. He says, Jonathan Ray Cass Stevens, I stand right here. And Jesus says, He's one of ours. Enter in into my good and faithful servant to the rewards that await for you.
Amen.
I don't even have to speak a word on that day, brother. He speaks for me. See, think about that. Because you think about it. But if I walk in unforgiveness, I'm telling Jesus that His blood wasn't good enough for forgiveness. Think about it. You can't go nowhere in life battling unforgiveness. Didn't the book of Hebrews tell us that we're supposed to lay aside the weights and the sins which so easily beset us?
and run the race that is set before us?
I know there's people in here who can probably outrun me. I'm pretty sure. But I guarantee you, if I put 100 pounds of weights on you and we run from here to that road out yonder, I'm going to beat you because I'm running free. You running weighed down. Think about it. So every time you walk in unforgiveness, and I'm done with this thought, and you walk in unforgiveness, you're doing this. I'm carrying it with me. I'm not going to drag across the carpet, but I'm going to carry this weight of unforgiveness.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to let people know that I am not forgiving them, and there's no way on God's green earth that I'm going to. And the thing is, you look crazy walking like this when the scripture says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. But the thing is, guys, when you're carrying weights, you can't ever be the person that God wants you to be. He said, let us run the race that is set before us. You can't run weighed down. I don't care how big you are. There is no way you can run with weights. There's no way. I love each and every one of you tonight. But I'm going to share this with you. It is time to walk in forgiveness. Forgiveness. And the thing is, sister, we don't forgive them for them. We forgive them for us. Now, tonight, this is a challenging message. I can tell you that. I feel in my spirit people saying, man, is he talking to me? If you think I'm talking to you, yeah, I'm talking to you. Mm-hmm. If you have any doubt in your mind that I'm talking to you, I'm talking to you.
Amen.
Not just your church down the street.
Nope.
Not the people that's past this place. But I'm talking to you. I know what it's like, sister, to be set free. Pastor, I know what it's like. There is a freedom in my life. I can love my wife like she deserves to be loved because I have forgiven. Here's the problem. Give me 1 minute. If you've been hurt in a relationship, you'll feel this so strong. If you've been hurt in a relationship and you've not forgiven that person that you was with, the next person you're with is going to be paying the price.
Yeah.
Think about it. If you have friendships that have been broken, you ever had a good friend that you thought was going to be there with you through the end, and them stab you in the back? If you don't forgive them, the next person that tries to be your friend, you'll stab them. You'll feel like they're going to stab you in the back. But when you walk in forgiveness, you open yourself up to the real deal. If I would have never walked in forgiveness, God would not have blessed me with my amazing wife. He would not have blessed me with Alice and Madison and Gracie. Because here's what she did to me one time, sister. She looked at me and she said, I'm not her. I said, I'm not trying to make you pay the price for her. She said, you don't realize there's some times that you make me feel like I'm her. Boy, that was a slap in the face.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to go back to God and do another examination. And you know as well as I do, an examination, I'm trying to wind down. But if you go to the doctor and you say you're in pain, what's he going to say? Tell me when it hurts. He can't diagnose your problem until he knows where the pain is. Some of you are holding things in, and you need to release them to God and say, hey, God, this is where I hurt. God, this is my pain. This is my thorn. This is what I'm going through. Did you know you can talk to him just like you talk to me and
yep.
this brother and this
yep.
sister? You don't have to get all real. You don't have to be fake it till you make it. I go up to him and say, hey, I go up to him and say, hey, God, hey, Jesus, our Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. See, remember, you can't go to the Father without going through that name. So when you say, hey, God, I come to you in Jesus' name, I'm hurting. I'm experiencing some pain. I need you to help me. I need you to help set me free. And God's going to say, it's going to hurt. But how many of you know the Word of God says that when you go through fire, you'll come out as pure gold, fit for a king. Because what happens to you when you ask God to put you through the fire, I'm sorry guys, I'm trying to wind it down.
But whenever you're going through the fire, it burns off the dross. And what is the dross? It's all the impurities. And how do you mean you know that when a coal goes through fire, it comes out like a diamond? So you need to thank God for going through the fire. Because how many of you know Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, three Hebrew boys?
Yep.
When they went in the fire, who went with them? And isn't it amazing? They said he's the likeness of the image of the Son of God. And Jesus didn't come until Matthew, we like to talk about. But he was the image and likeness of the Son of God. How did they know he was the image and the likeness of the Son of God? But I challenge you tonight as everybody stands. I love you guys. I love being here. Glory to God. I feel just some of you are just soaking this up like a sponge. And y'all was probably surprised that I sat in the floor tonight.
I didn't.
No, you expected me to. I did. But I'm going to say this tonight. I want you to bow your head. Is there anybody here tonight? You have problems and walking in unforgiveness. You don't mean to be unforgiven, but you're still experiencing pain. You're still battling the curses of unforgiveness. If that's you tonight, and you want to pray, this altar is open. If it's you, maybe you don't want to come up to be prayed for, and that's perfectly fine. But I'm going to say a prayer here in just a second. Matter of fact, I feel like that's what the Holy Spirit is telling me to do. I want you right where you're at. I'm going to say a prayer. As I say this prayer, I ask you to let the healing balm of Gilead begin to flow, the anointing oil to flow through your body, to take out those impurities of unforgiveness. Think about it. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Father, I just come to you right now in Jesus' name. Lord, as I walk up this aisle and back, Lord, if there is anybody in this house that is battling the spirit of unforgiveness, I ask you to set them free, not by my words, but by your word. Your word says we can be set free from all the things that are holding us, all the yokes that are holding us down. Father, we ask you right now that you would just heal every heart in here that is battling unforgiveness. Father God, that's not saying they're a bad person. It's just saying this thing has held them captive long enough. Lord, they want to be set free. They've asked people to help them be set free, and they can just pray about it. God, sometimes you just got to talk about it. Sometimes you just got to get somebody to help you make it through this situation. And Father, help us to realize that we don't forgive people for them. We forgive people for us. And Father, tonight I ask you to have your will and your way in each and every person's life here tonight. For it's in Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said, amen. Pastor is yours.
111.
And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory.